Okay, well, thank you so much for agreeing to participate in this project. We're hoping that this information will be used and will be a benefit to the community now and in the future. I'm going to ask you questions, and you can feel free to answer as much about each question as I ask you. We want to try to get a coherent narrative of your life. And let's start with a little bit of background. Can you tell me where you were born and what was going on during that time?
I was born in 1940 in a small town in the Atlantic side by the name of New Providence. The town was given to the West Indian Committee, community that came to Panama, and that was living where there is now the Panama Canal Lake, the Gatun Lake. So in order to have them live somewhere, they took them to that place and gave it the name of New Providence.
And where were they located before they took them to New Providence?
Down under where the water is right now.
Oh, so that's where they relocated to, yes. New Providence.
And they also moved the people that didn't want to go back to Jamaica or the islands and gave them land and a lot to live in New Providence.
Interesting. And so what was your childhood like?
My childhood was a very wonderful childhood. My mother was a judge in the community. So we lived in a big house, had everything that we could have in those days, more than everybody else had. So I had a very nice life. We played ball every day on vacation. We swam every day on vacation. We ate anything we wanted to eat, and it was a very good life.
And what are some of your fondest memories from when you were a child?
What
were some of your fondest memories of being a child?
My fondest memory as being a child is being able to be in the outdoors, have a lot of fruits and vegetables. We could eat as free, we could play outside, we could play in the night with all our friends and mainly enjoy yourself.
And who were some of your friends growing up? And have you maintained friendships with those same people?
Yes, I have. Right now, two of my friends that I knew from we were about 5 years old. One is Ruthie Peart, and she's in California right now, but she lives in San Antonio where I live in Panama. And I also have the Payne, and they're living in Miami right now.
And tell me a little bit about your parents and your grandparents. You said your mother was a judge?
My grandparents, both mother and father, came from Jamaica. They have both side Scottish blood, because you see I'm kind of like, the people say high yellow, but that means I'm still black. But it's because of the Irish descendant that we have in our life. And my grandfather had 3 kids, and in those days they only could send like one person to college. So one of my uncle went to college, but my mother went to 6th grade. And when my stepfather died, he was the judge, and then she took the position so she could maintain us, because she had 4 kids.
And what, so she had been educated up until 6th grade,
yes,
level, but had she been sitting in with him or something like that to
no,
take over that position?
No, when he was the judge, she was a seamstress. But when he died, Basang, that was the alcalde those days, was a very good friend of the family. So he decided he had to do something to help her. So he asked her if she wanted to be the judge, and she says, I don't think I can do that. He says, okay, go ahead and take it for 30 days or 60 days and see what you think about it. And she took it, and she stayed in there 13 years.
Wow. And so what was that like for you, having...
It was good, and it was kind of restricted, because the judge children has to be so right and so correct, and we had to be example for all the other people, like the judge daughter can't do this, and you know, and that's one side of the story. And then another side is anybody knocked the doors because they had a problem, and like, mom, Mr. So-and-so is coming. She said, oh, wonder what happened now, you know.
So your house was kind of the center where all things,
yes,
were resolved.
Yes.
Can you think of any anecdotes from that time or a particular situation that stands out to you?
Well, there's a situation that stands out, because when my stepfather was alive, we did nothing. We just went to school, enjoyed herself, and when he died, we had to go and start to help in the farm and help to plant rice and weep rice and you know, paddle the boat all the way to the farm and everything like that. So that kind of like didn't change our life really bad or anything, but we started doing other things that we didn't have to do before. Yeah. And I'm not a Zonian, and a lot of people think that everybody that comes, that is here, that is West Indian in Panama, is Zonians. But there are plenty West Indian that came to Panama that did not work on the canal zone.
And why did your family come to Panama?
My grandfather came to Panama because he was having problem with his family in Jamaica. And Panama was the best thing to do. So he got on the boat and he came to Panama. And then he never went back.
Do you know what kind of problems he was having with his family in Jamaica?
It was a problem with land problems. So he said, well, since Panama is where everybody's going, I'm going to go to Panama. And he just stayed here and never went back.
And so most of your family, the Caribbean roots in your family, are from Jamaica then?
Yes.
And do you remember what your grandparents were like?
My grandfather, yes, he was a very tall, clear-skinned man, nice, straight hair. He was very polite and very erect and very strict. In my house, we couldn't curse or say anything that was wrong. We had to speak properly, and he's the one that taught me to read and write English, and speak English also. I never went to English school to learn English.
And what were you taught when you went to school? Were you taught in Spanish?
Spanish. I went to Spanish school. And in Jamaica right now, that's why I gave you the Harvey and the Murray. In Jamaica, the Harvey has a district. We have a Harvey district, Harvey River. And I hope one day I can go and find and see the rest of my family.
So you still have connections to Jamaica that
yes.
You want to reconnect with?
Mm-hmm.
And what was school like for you?
School was wonderful, especially my secondary school. When I went to secondary school, I went to Abel Bravo in Colón. And my first year, all I did was play ball. Softball was my special thing. I loved it very dearly. And then after that, I really realized that I had to study. So I started studying, and I really like school. We enjoy it a lot. I keep in touch with a lot of my schoolmates right now. We had a schoolmate reunion last year. It was wonderful to see everybody that you haven't seen for 60-something years. For 42 years, we haven't seen one another. School was really nice.
And who were your teachers and how were they with you?
I just, like, today I saw one of my teachers downstairs. Teachers was good. We had good teachers and we had bad teachers. We had a chemistry teacher that was, like, he was sent from somewhere very evil to teach us, you know. And nobody liked him. Nobody liked him, and he was really rough on you. You had to learn. I mean, I studied that subject more than I studied anything else. But I learned it, but I don't think I learned it because I really liked it. I learned it because I had no choice, because he would have just run you out the classroom if you didn't know it, you know.
So it was a little intimidating?
Oh, very, very.
And what about your good teachers? You said you had some good ones.
Oh, my good teacher, we had a math teacher. He was very wonderful. He was very strict. You had to be in the classroom exactly in time. If not, he would ask you if you are the teacher, and you had to come in when you feel like. But he would protect you if he was the one in charge of the class. No other teacher could bother you. They couldn't tell you anything. He was your friend, and he was really a nice teacher.
And he would protect you from the other teachers in what sense?
Because in the school, you had a counselor. And like if he was the counselor for this grade, then if you had a problem, any kind of problem, either with children or other teachers, you could go to him, and he would solve it. Because some teachers or professors like to like take advantage of some of the kids, you know. But when he was your counselor, nobody bothers you.
And did you ever have a problem when you were in school?
Yes.
Do you want to talk about it?
I had a couple of problems. One of my problems I had in school is I had my professor that was music professor. He was kind of like intimidated to the kids, and he would holler and scream at them when he feel like. And we had a rule in the college that if the professor is 15 minutes late, you can go home. So he was coming up the step and I said, well, it's 15 minutes, let's go. So when he got upstairs, he was upset because he heard somebody say it's 15 minutes. So he said, all the boys could come in and the girls could not come in. But I went in because I knew I was going to school. So he was upset and he wanted to give us a bad grade. But he knew it was me, but he didn't want to have anything to do with me directly because my uncle was the assistant dean of the school. So he like stayed off. So that kind of washed off just like that.
And so the other teacher took care of that for you? Or
no, I didn't have to take it to him. Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about what kind of music did you listen to when you were growing up?
I think I listened to a lot of different music, like James Brown and Aretha Franklin and those kind of music, pop music, a little bit of jazz, but jazz with a rhythm, you know, not way out jazz. And in those days, most everybody had a book and that had all the songs, and we learned all the songs and we sang them all, you know.
Are there any that stand out to you that you remember?
Not right off the top of my head.
No, nothing. No. You want to sing for us?
No.
Okay. Do you listen to the same kind of music now as you did then?
I have some of them, not a lot, but I still have some old James Brown or Aretha Franklin. I have rhythm and blues and some Spanish ones.
And what kind of foods did you grow up eating?
We grew up eating rice every day because we had a rice farm. We plant rice so that we could sell rice and have enough rice to eat for the rest of the time. So we eat rice and chicken. We raise chicken and ground food, yuca, yam, banana, plantain. That's it.
Okay. And what are your favorite sayings? You don't have any favorite sayings?
That's kind of hard.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No? And have you ever heard of Louis Bennett and the Mighty Sparrow?
Louis Bennett and the Mighty Sparrow? I've heard of Mighty Sparrow from I was born, I guess.
What comes to mind when you hear the Mighty Sparrow?
All the songs that he sings. He sings one that says that your age is just a number. That's one of his songs when he sang the last time he came here about 10, 15 years ago. And I know he's coming Saturday.
Are you going to that performance?
Yes,
as well?
Definitely.
Okay. And let me stop again. And how would you classify yourself in terms of identity? Your cultural identity, how do you see yourself?
When you say identity, culture, what you mean? Black, white, Spanish?
Yeah, however you...
I consider myself as a black Hispanic. Why? Because my descendant is black and I was born in Panama. Panama is a Hispanic country. Most of the time you can't do that because they either put Hispanic or black, you know, or other. And if they have other, I just go to other.
And so it depends on the circumstances then how you are able to respond. Outside of the checking the box context, is there any other time that you feel like you have to choose one or the other?
No.
And tell me about your view of your West Indian ancestry. What do you know about it?
My West Indian ancestors, my grandmother from my mother's side is French. And she's from, I don't remember exactly, we're in Jamaica. But my grandfather is from Jamaica and his great-grandfather is Scottish. That's the mother's side. And my father's side, my grandmother is black. from Jamaica, and her grandfather was Scottish. So we have the Scottish in there a lot. Mm-hmm. I have a grandson, which is my daughter Sharon's son, right now, and he is so white and so pale that I tell her she has to carry his birth paper anywhere she goes. Because he looks just like me when I was a little baby.
And do your children and your grandchildren, do they speak English?
Yes.
Okay. And do they speak Spanish as well?
Yes.
And are you married?
My husband is dead. I'm a widow.
And what?
I'm a widow.
You're
my husband
widow?
Died, yes.
I didn't hear that. How did you meet him?
I met him here at a ball game. I used to play ball a lot. And he came to watch the game. And that's where I met him.
And what was his cultural background?
His cultural background is his father is also from Jamaica. And his father is Chinese, half Chinese, half black, and his mother was black. And they're from Jamaica.
And do you know how your children define themselves?
They define themselves as black. Yes. Black Hispanic. They define themselves the same. If there's a choice, they're black Hispanic. If not, they're black. Some people think that because you have a little color and you have a little soft hair, you're not black, but you're black. If you're not white, you're black. You know, and that's the way I think about it. People look at me and say, no, but your eyes are gray and you're this, I'm black. That's it.
So how do you define your community? Who is your community for you?
Community. My community is not a special community. It's just in Panama, everybody lives in the community and they get along whether you're black, you're white, you're Spanish, you live in San Antonio, and that's it. You know.
And do you have a specific message you want to communicate to the younger people?
Yes. I would like the younger people to know that Panama is a mixture of races more than I think anywhere else. And if they're black, they should consider themselves black. And the problem we have is a lot of time, like even that little girl today, she says she's white. She don't know the difference, but somebody have told her that she's not black, you know. And they have to tell them from they're small that they're black. You are black, you're coming from a black, and it's not bad, and it's nothing out of the way to be black, it's just a race. You understand? And you should be proud that you're black.
Do you think that people have taught her that black is bad?
Yes. I do. It's not as bad now as before, because before when they had the Zonian and the stuff like that, in their time that's what they tell me, because I don't know anything about it. They used to say that because the black Zonian live in this side and the one live in that side, and they couldn't, and they had this big problem with that thing, you know. So, but I didn't have that problem.
So, would you mind telling me the year of your birth?
1940.
And what was the last grade of school you completed?
1 year of university.
And what is your job or profession?
I'm retired, but I used to work as a supervisor in a data processing installation for the U.S. Army.
And what other roles do you fill in the community?
I am a past president of the Toastmaster Club twice. I'm also a member of SAMAP. And in my church, I'm the one in charge of the Benevolent Society that helps the poor people in the community.
And what church did you grow up in?
I grew up in the U.S. in the Adventist Church, Seventh-day Adventist.
And where do you reside here in Panama?
San Antonio.
And do you have any other information that you want to share with us that we haven't touched on yet?
I'm dedicating most of my time to help the needy. I like to help the elderly people more. You know, everybody has a part of people that they like. Some people like to help children, babies. I like to help the elderly. So right now I'm trying to put together a program where I can help them by buying their grocery and doing message for them, because the transportation that we have in Panama do not allow the elderly people to go to the grocery or go to where they want to go. So most of them, because of that, they shut in and stay inside. Not because they're that shut in, but because they cannot go in the bus and they cannot go in the cabs. So that is my aim in view right now.